You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With Germany and the US agreeing to send main battle tanks to Ukraine, attention is being brought to the major foreign policy approaches that ideologically inform such decisions. To get a sense of two of the dominant international relations theories in play, liberalism and realism, I spoke to Robert Patman, Professor of International Relations at the University of Otago. I first asked what the terms liberal and realist mean in IR theory.
First of all, when I was referring to those two terms, I was referring to two perspectives that are held within the group of states that are actually supporting Ukraine in dealing with Mr. Putin's invasion. Realism often is depicted as being skeptical about peace and believes that states are essentially driven by the pursuit of power and national interests through a reliance on the instruments of military might. Liberalism, on the other hand, in the international relations context, views global politics as an arena where moral values, legal norms, and institutions are crucial for regulating the behavior of states. Sometimes the difference between the two schools of thought is characterized by liberalism being optimistic about the prospects for peace and realism being very pessimistic. Now, both of these approaches, Casper, have been on display during following Mr. Putin's regime and its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. The big point of difference between the two schools have been how Putin's Ukraine invasion should be brought to an end. And many realists, and this not only involves scholars like John Mearsheimer, but also to some degree representatives of the governments of France, such as Emmanuel Macron, and to some degree Olaf Scholz, took the view that the way out of the Ukraine conflict was some form of negotiated peace with Moscow. And this view rested to some degree on the assumption that NATO enlargement had in Eastern Europe had made the Putin regime insecure and belligerent towards Ukraine. And that if, in other words, given that background, realists argue is important to recognize the legitimate security interests of Russia and Ukraine, and also they believed it was necessary for Ukraine to bring about peace by conceding some territory. On the other hand, the liberals, particularly those with hawkish views, argued that Russia's Ukraine invasion was such a fundamental violation of the UN Charter that it had basically eliminated the scope for a diplomatic compromise. They argued that negotiation in this context would only reward Putin's aggression and undermine a rules-based order that sought to uphold the territorial integrity and political independence of all countries. So we basically saw these two currents, these two points of view, play out from the beginning. And what we've seen in the last 12 months is that liberal hawks, as I call them, have gradually got the upper hand. And I think that that's occurred for a number of reasons, not least the I think the performance of the Ukrainian army has surprised many people who assumed that a great power like Russia would quickly swallow a much smaller middle power living next door. And secondly, I think the behavior of the Russian troops in Ukraine, with suspected war crimes being committed, has hardened views within the Western world. A third factor is that Mr. Putin hasn't shown any serious desire to negotiate any sort of withdrawal from Ukraine. In fact, he's preparing an offensive as we speak to expand the annexation, the attempted annexation of Ukraine. So what we've seen, I think, over 12 months, and in many respects, the German decision to send Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine exemplified this trend what we've seen, I think, is a steady hardening of opinion within NATO and countries supporting Ukraine, and less talk about a land for peace deal. I think that that prospect has diminished significantly, and the view is now that Kyiv must be sufficiently armed and equipped to fight a just war to eject the invading forces from its country.
Are both approaches usually visible in New Zealand's approach to foreign policy? Is there one we tend to lean towards more?
Yes, we tend to lean on balance towards liberalism. We do, as a small country, relatively small country, we have a vested interest in what's called a rules-based international order. That is to say, we depend on institutions. There is a bipartisan understanding in this country between governments which were either national-led or Labour-led that we're big supporters of the UN. That's not a coincidence. We're big supporters of the UN. It's because we believe in multilateral diplomacy, in a diplomacy which doesn't depend on the coordination of many states, and we do not like unilateral action such as that committed by Mr. Putin in the Ukraine. And so, in a sense, we are very much in the liberal camp. And I think once we saw that Mr. Putin had basically torn up the UN Charter and illegally used force to invade a neighbouring country, New Zealand, given its historic position, had little choice but to strongly oppose what Mr. Putin was doing. After all, if Mr. Putin succeeded in wresting territory from Ukraine through the brute use of force, that would send shockwaves through the international system. And for countries like New Zealand and to some degree Australia, New Zealand being a small power and Australia being a middle power, we depend. We're not powerful enough to make our own rules. We depend on rules to give us a sort of level playing field. We trade with more than 100 countries around the world. So in a sense, we have a big stake in the Ukraine conflict, and liberalism affects, I think, New Zealand's view that Mr. Putin's invasion must fail.
Given this historical position in New Zealand, as well as the trend you've identified in the West towards liberalism in its approach to the war, do you believe that this kind of trend is likely to resonate further in New Zealand foreign politics and possibly indicate more independent foreign policy or more of a shift away from our traditional partners?
It's a very interesting and very good question, if I may say so. We share a lot with our traditional partners, but we also have a slightly different worldview to the UK and to the United States. They largely want to uphold the rules-based system as it is currently set, whereas New Zealand actually wants to deepen and extend the rules-based system. Now, what does that mean in practical terms? It means, for example, that New Zealand wants to reform the UN Security Council, where there is five members, permanent members, who have the power of veto, which means they can block anything they don't like. From New Zealand's point of view, and that of the majority of countries in the world, the UN Security Council has become dysfunctional as a result of those privileges of just five states. However, our traditional partners, the United States and UK, for example, probably would be uneasy about New Zealand's vision of how the world should develop, because after all, they would lose a privilege that they now have.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.